Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up.
Good evening. You're on the air. We're waking up with Linda Mac Shan. You know, today is Think Thursday. We have an exciting show. You know, here we're waking up with Linda Mac Shan. We're about education, stress and unification, and the importance of collaboration. But before we get the show started today, I want you guys to sort of like celebrate with me, because today is my mommy's birthday. Yes, it is. It is Jetty's birthday. And she was a very, very, very unique woman, because on the same day, May 28th, 2008, she also passed away. You see, that girl was something else. She said, look, I'm going to celebrate this, and then I'm going to take it out the way that I want to take it out, and I'm coming back in the way that I want to come back in. You see, in the philosophy, our Buddhist philosophy, it's, you know, no beginning, no end. So when a person transcends, going from one life, preparing and getting ready for the next life, it is called, they go and they sleep, they take a little nap. Well, with my mother, she did not take a little nap. She said, you know what, I'm right back here, because I have to check on my baby girl. See, my name is Baby Girl, and I have to make sure that Baby Girl is respecting herself and respecting others, appreciating herself and appreciating others, and I have to make sure the Baby Girl always says, you know what, when love is no longer being served, it is time to leave the table. You see, they never go anywhere. She sits right on the shoulder. Yes, yes, I'm playing that for my mama, Jettina. She loved the blues. She danced the blues. She taught her baby girl how to do the blues. Now, we have an exciting show coming on. We have a guest that's coming on, Mr. Hans Johnson. Hans Johnson is the president of the EAPD. What is the EAPD? East Area Progressive Democrats. It's a club. It is the best-ran club. Hans Johnson is an individual that's beautiful on the outside as he is on the inside. Hans Johnson is a person that can stand back and look through that screen, and he can peek into your life and see that little diamond glistening, pull it out, direct you, and before he gets through with you, you are finding out that you can do things that you didn't even know you could do. The East Area Progressive Democrats has a motto, and it is, yes, we can. So, you know, for those of you out there, you know how people always tell you can't do this and can't do that. That's not what it's about. Yes, we can, and yes, they can. So, listening audience, I would like to introduce you to the president of the EAPD, Mr. Hans Johnson, and he's going to share some information with us this evening. He is one person that demonstrates the best leadership that I have ever met. Good evening, Hans Johnson. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous, Linda. I'm doing very well, and I'm so grateful for your welcome to the show and to be here in tribute to your wonderful mother and
Thank
to
you.
Speak about the importance of our participation this year of change made by the people when we can make a joyful noise at the polls, turn out the mindless, heartless, spineless, and reckless president that we have misleading our nation, and also usher in a wave of new leadership from the local up through the state, up through multi-states, and up through our federal government. This is a year of change-making, and we are seeing, even now as we speak tonight, paying tribute to your mother and her perseverance, and the skills that she taught you, we're seeing America reckoning once again with the tragedy of racist violence and police violence against innocent, unarmed African Americans. And we're seeing people rise up to speak out against that horrible pattern of racist violence committed in so many cities and having taken so many innocent lives from us, the latest being George Floyd. And we're seeing the prospect of diversity in leadership leading us beyond the pain that we're feeling and seeing now to a brighter future that really local leadership and state leadership are responsible for helping to usher in. So I'm very pleased to be with you and pleased to share some of the work that you and other members of our club have been able to do here locally on the greater east side of Los Angeles.
Yes, yes. You know, I'd like to ask you, Hans, thank you so much for that, because that's exactly what's going on. Now, the East Area Progressive Democrats, why was this formed, and what is it really? We know what we do out there, but just give us a little background. I know it's the largest club.
Sure.
It's one of the largest clubs, and there's many clubs out there, but not like the EAPD.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Linda. We are somewhat distinctive in that we are a club that is not about simply giving a blessing to local elected officials. We take our role seriously as independent, progressive, community-driven Democrats. And that, in some ways, has been part of the magic of our growth and of the impact that we continue to make by bringing diverse people together from the community upward to build reciprocity and solidarity and trust and to encourage informed participation and accountability at every level of office. The club was formed in late 2013 in the midst of a very important fight that had its roots in many ways here on the greater east side of Los Angeles to pass a very popular proposal to outlaw blight and to stop costly blight from throwaway plastic bags in our communities. That has been hurting our communities, saddling them with non-biodegradable waste for decades, and in fact became the most prevalent form of pollution, choking the Los Angeles River at precisely the point where the river was being rediscovered and reimagined and cleaned up. And the single worst culprit choking the riverbed of the LA River were throwaway plastic bags. We had an effort ongoing to try to shift beyond throwaway plastic bags and to try to renew people's use of reusable bags at the local level that was gaining steam, but which was facing serious barriers by local elected Democrats. And unfortunately, one of the local elected Democrats actually killed the statewide measure to shift away from polluting plastic bags that caused such terrible blight in our neighborhoods, killed that measure on the floor of the state Senate in May of 2013. And that was Kevin DeLeon, then a state senator representing much of East Side Los Angeles and surrounding neighborhoods. And it took a great deal of community organizing and a great deal of community advocacy to make people aware that we had a lawmaker here in a set of neighborhoods where stopping blight from throwaway plastic bags was more popular than the Los Angeles Dodgers, but who nonetheless, because of the influence of plastic polluters and campaign contributions that they made to him and other local elected lawmakers, including then State Senator Ricardo Lara and then State Senator Ron Calderon and then State Senator Leland Yee, who was ultimately arrested in a wholesale corruption scheme that involved attempted murder from his staff in San Francisco, that we had to inform people that we had lawmakers making decisions directly hostile to the community's desires and the community's own public interest, and that we had to have some accountability that was not merely through community advocacy, that we had to build accountability over such Democratic officeholders and lawmakers in the Democratic Party itself, that in fact there was a glaring void of activism and accountability amongst Democrats over our local and state elected officials in particular from within the Democratic Party. And unless we would step forward to change that, nothing was going to change. And in fact, we would still see the most common sense of public interest driven policies, such as stopping plastic bag blight that afflicted immigrant and East Side neighborhoods so markedly. We were going to see those continue to face needless barriers simply because they didn't feel that they could be held accountable by local Democrats. In fact, that the party could be an escape hatch from the advocacy of engaged and informed community members, taking the shape of environmental organizations, community and livable community advocates, and so many other forms of advocacy. But if they did not face accountability within the Democratic Party structure itself, they could use the Democratic endorsement, the Democratic Party, as an escape hatch from accountability. We set out to change that, and indeed in launching in early 2014 over MLK weekend, we have begun to do that. Now 6 years old, we have grown to 1,000 members. We passed the statewide plastic bag ban in August of 2014, and we did not give up because the plastic polluters did not give up. They took that measure to a signature drive to subject it to a referendum and to take their swindling, their effort to cheat and engañar, as we say in Spanish, to try to deceive and to cheat Californians one step further. They put a second measure on the ballot for 2016, forcing Californians to vote two different ways merely to uphold the state law that we had passed with Governor Brown's signature in 2014. And we carried out our work, and we did what some folks thought would be impossible. We got Californians to vote yes on 67, no on 65, and we preserved the statewide ban on throwaway plastic bags and costly blight in our communities that we undertook with so much effort and sacrifice to get passed through the legislature 2 years before. It was the first such law in the nation. It has helped save California taxpayers more than $400 million a year in cleanup costs from plastic blight around the state. And it has shown the way to other states that you can break the chokehold of plastic polluters on your democratic process and on your legislature. And four other states have passed statewide bans on throwaway plastic bags since California's victory in 2016. So the work of the club continues, but that fight, that very important fight to pass the first of its kind law in the country, showed what we could accomplish, such coalition building and advocacy work throughout the ensuing 4 years of our club's growth.
Well, you know, sometimes we get placed with the right people. I remember when I first met you and I was introduced to you and we had a conversation and you said, Linda, come and check us out. And I'm saying, I don't like politicians. And you said, no, we're not politicians. We get things done. And I looked at you. I said, well, you know, now, if you're not about the people and you're not about the communities, you know, I hope you can duck your head because I'm going to get up and tell the truth, and they're going to be shooting at you guys. So I had it mixed up because I didn't quite understand, and I'm so glad that you're sharing this with us because there's things that go on, and people need to be awakened to this stuff. So when they hear these different initiatives, when they hear this back and forth and all this stuff that's going out here, you're not for or against. EAPD is for the right. It's about doing it in the correct way. So you'll go into any party. A lot of people say, well, if you know, when they get into that political party split. But it's not about that. You're about total democracy across the board. And it is an honor for me to, you know, to participate. You know, you've come and got me twice, and I might kick and scream, but the next thing I know, you know, I might be in front of a backdrop 1 year, and the next year I'm in the 2020 election ballot saying, how the hell did I get here? Okay, that darn Hans, because you have a way of seeing, and you don't pull. You're an excellent leader. I always tell you that. I love your leadership skills because that's what it takes. The way that you leave the organization, the meetings that I have attended, and I'm going to put a call out here. Many more people in the community start attending these things so you find out for yourself what's actually going on out there and how people are working. When EAPD say, yes, we can, yes, they can. But they work a different way. Unswayable, to the point. Very, very transparent. You don't have to worry. You're going to get honesty there. And they kept pulling at me because, you know, I guess they saw this this rabble-rouser in me. I don't know what they see. But they know that I'm not going to sway and I'm not going to agree. And they don't sway and agree. Hans, how would one, I know membership is open. How does one become involved with the EAPD?
Well, it's very important that we pass the Linda McShann test of legitimacy, of authenticity, and of honesty. So I really appreciate your saying that, Linda. Involvement is really it's really important. It's the lifeblood of our organization. Membership in the organization is really important. We've grown to nearly 1,100 members. We're the largest Democratic club in the state of California, and we've built it from scratch over the last 6 years. By the individual solidarity and the perseverance of continuing and renewing members. You can join at eapd.la. Our website is very simple, www.eapd.la, very simple. And you can also find us on other social media, on Twitter at eapdla and on Facebook as well at East Area Progressive Democrats. The importance that you raise to our welcome to you and the invitation that we made to you to step up and serve is one of the four gears that drive our club. We really are fueled by people power. I like to call that kind of volunteer energy and involvement the greatest renewable energy known to humankind, because people power is really what any good club or political organization should strive to be driven by, not by influence peddling, not by sucking up to incumbent politicians, not by trying to curry favor with deep-pocketed interests or favor seekers, but really by the authentic people power of its members. And the four gears of our club are community organizing, which includes our work to register voters at the local level in multifamily dwellings, apartments, and in relationship with people at the local level, where some of the most trusted relationships reside and are drivers of people's information and engagement. Community organizing. Second is issue advocacy. So our work on fighting plastic pollution, our work for affordable housing, our work for ending sexual harassment, our work for climate justice and to protect the environment, our work on economic justice. All of those issues we work on in coalition with other entities that we trust and whose support is reciprocal, and we have gotten a lot of things done. We're very proud that we've helped protect public education and that we have helped elect leaders to our school board. In fact, we were pivotal in ousting a disgraced member of the Los Angeles School Board who had laundered money from the public's paying to his charter school to subsidize students at his charter school. He laundered it into his campaign for school board. We caught him and called him out, and we helped push him out of office under criminal indictment and to recruit Jackie Goldberg out of retirement to run for that seat. Did the balance of power away from unaccountable charter schools back towards public schools and public education for all in Los Angeles. So issue advocacy is key to us, and we do that in coalition wherever we can. We also do a lot of earned media. We put stories into local press outlets. We help encourage reporters to pay attention to under-recognized issues, whether that be things like the Shoal dump at the north end of Figueroa Street here on the east side, polluting dump that Glendale was seeking to expand over the treating the lives of nearby residents as expendable. We fought that and we held them off, and they have had to back down from expanding that dump. So we do a lot of issue advocacy that also has manifestations in earned media. And finally, that fourth gear, the one that we were inviting you to step up and serve in, progressive Democrats service in the party structure, getting women in particular, women of all ages and diverse women from all racial and ethnic backgrounds to be able to serve and face fewer barriers in our Democratic Party, which has operated for too long as a boys' club in too many places. And so urging women with backbones, with records of service, with know-how in how to solve problems and bring people together to accomplish great things, that depends on encouragement in many cases. And it depends on having a strong base of people willing to put forward talented women along with men unthreatened by women's leadership to serve in Democratic Party positions. So one of the things that we emphasize, one of the four gears of our club, is urging the best of our members to step up and seek positions of leadership in the state and the county Democratic Party structures. And as a result, we've had some great success, and we've changed the chemistry of the decision-making bodies of the Democratic Party, both at the county level and at the state level. In our primary election that we just had on March 3rd here in Los Angeles, 18 of the 28 candidates for county central committee that had to run on the ballot. So this is not an easy lift. I'm very glad that you took the plunge and did that with so many other candidates. But 18 of the 28 candidates endorsed by the club won, and even those who didn't will have a chance to serve as an alternate and to become a member of the State Center Committee as a result of the good work they did side by side with teammates in the primary election. So that's just a little bit about how we seek to change not just policy, but also to change the chemistry of our Democratic Party so that it can be more responsive and more reflective of our diversity and just be a more welcoming place to work and come together.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. It was funny to me because, you know, you step out and you do things and you say, well, how did I do that? Well, what happened there? I had the best time. I had the best time because there's a lot of work that goes into it and you have to be focused in on it. But what I find that it does for me was help me build relationships within the community. It forces me to go places that I wouldn't normally go, but I meet friends. And you learn more about yourself. And because most people have that iffy-iffy craziness when you hear about politics, like you say, no, this is not the club that blends in. This is the club that makes the change. And I'm laughing because when you stated you look for females who aren't threatened, now you know I had on my red lipstick and I had my legs crossed like a little lady. Now, what in the world did you see in me to make me think that I would pick up a chair and knock somebody out if they got out of line? What was it?
I think I saw a little bit of Linda Hopkins in you. And if you know the blues singer,
okay.
I think you may know that she was both a charmer, but she could also, if need be, a chair thrower. So you have a little bit of that Linda Hopkins magic, and I'm just very pleased that you stuck it out because you know the process of getting the petition and filing for the ballot and getting on the ballot and waging a campaign and all of the work that requires, you know, for many years, Democratic Party operatives kept some of those pathways secret and kept them to a very selective handful of their own followers. And, you know, we need to diversify our party and we need to make the pathways of leadership open to a much broader array of people. And grassroots Democrats need to have a voice in our own party. And that doesn't happen unless we make the ways of accessing the decision-making tables, unless we open up the governing boards of our party to a broader base of skilled people who really look like the base of our Democratic Party. So we've tried to do that. And as a result, I think you walked that path that goes to the county recorder's office down in Norwalk. You walked the streets to get signatures around your home in Koreatown. And you walked all the way to Election Day on March 3rd and kept your head held high and brought a number of votes. I think you came in with several thousand votes for
about
you.
About 7,000.
As a result.
Yes.
Yep. And you will be a great member of the State Center Committee as a result of becoming the alternate of one of the winners from AD 53 to be someone who can have a say in the endorsements of the party at the state and federal level. This is how we accomplish change. It's by being true to what we say we believe in as Democrats, you know, not just saying one thing and doing another as people are content to. And it's in bringing the beautiful diversity of our communities and the wonderful people who do the hard work of Democratic campaigns so often, of door knocking and inviting donors to come forward. Well, those people deserve to have a place at the table of decision making. They're not just
worker
folks
bees
who could be treated as worker bees or quote unquote helpers. and given a patronizing pat on the head and told to leave as the big boys make decisions in some back room. No, that is unacceptable. And as a result, we've been able to make considerable change, and I think we're only just getting started in the impact that our club will have in our local, in our state party, and I think in the example of what we are trying to spread more broadly within the Democratic Party nationwide, and to the kind of issue advocacy that I think we've shown should be a greater part of grassroots democratic activism.
Well, I appreciate it, because it's like you're learning. And I tell, as I get further and further in it, because first thing I'll holler is, I don't like this and I don't like that, because I came from a family, a political family. But I grew up around it, and I used to sit and listen, but they were like, get the job done. Don't sway, don't. And I would hear it, but I put on my flip-flops and shorts and go the other way. But my mother and my aunts told me, oh, no, get ready. They're going to come for you, because with your attitude and your mouth and your stubbornness, there's going to be someone out there looking at you, because they know you'll stand up against that grizzly bear and knock him out if it's not right. They'll be able to see it. So get ready for it. And when I started this, this was the funniest thing to me. And the 2020 election, I don't know if it was you, someone had to call me and tell me I was in the election book. I said, oh, really? Now what page and where do I go with that? Because my focus was on getting signatures, pushing it out there, learning the next step, which the information that I get, just like you're teaching me the process, I can reach back and get another youth and say, oh, no, come on. Because, see, you can't hear about it. You can't complain about it, and you can't get angry about it. You have to actually be at the table with the stew pot to put some carrots into the stew. And eventually,
I'm so glad you said that, Linda. I'm so glad you said that about the process, because, the democratic process is a phrase that we use, but it isn't just something that people learn out of thin air. It has to be guided. It has to be taught to the next generation.
Yes.
And it has to be demystified. It has to be demystified constantly, even to people with strong educational training or elite educations, who may be ignorant of the process of exerting accountability, of stepping up to serve themselves in local office, or building a coalition to accomplish something, or to hold an official accountable for a corrupt action, or to blow the whistle on something that's going on to them or a family member. There's a process often involved for doing that. There may be deadlines that are applicable. And there may be even fundraising obligations if you're trying to mount a candidacy or to support someone as a candidate, even for a low level or a party office. These are interlocking obligations sometimes that go together and that sometimes have to be juggled simultaneously while taking on a process. And we've developed in the club some fluency and a whole series of mentorly relationships in the club, a lot of experience, decades and decades of knowledge in various sectors of public service in our club. And I think I see it as my own personal responsibility to help shed light on the pathways of opportunity for other people, so that the doors are not slammed in their face, and that the discouraging words of some don't get the last word.
That's right.
And that justice can be pursued, because people stay at it and they learn the process, and they don't get denied or diverted off a path of service and leadership. Injustice is people giving up. Injustice is people not trying anymore because it doesn't seem that it matters, or they don't know which way to turn. Justice is people being able to serve and to be able to have their contributions recognized, and to feel as if their democracy is working for them and for their families just as much as it does for the wealthiest and the most privileged people. So that's what our mission is to do, and I'm so glad that you are a part of it.
Well, I'm so glad that you saw that diamond, dusty diamond, blinking down there up under that shield that you looked through, and you kept after me. And it was a couple of years, because I would come around, but I would just be looking, right? Until you say, okay, no, we're going to give you the process. We're going to give you the process. And I have enjoyed the educational part of it. I have enjoyed finding out about myself, but more so I have enjoyed that I like to put the carrots in the stew pot. You know, I call it bringing the stew to the table, okay? Mm-hmm. Bring the pot to the table. Let's make this stew. And most people, you know, they want to sit back and what you do is mix that stew and serve it. And the ones who can't take it, you know, they're not the ones that should be there. But what I have learned through all of this, because, you know, I'm Texas. You just told me the other day, you hear a little Texas. That cracked me up. I'm Texas, so our way is a more direct, to the point, and we're not taking no more time, and we're not repeating it. Whereas as you go through, you got different people. So I'm learning how to do it in a not say change me. I'm never going to change me, but I'm learning how to do it. I have many options that I could go to, and I'm learning those, because usually it's like, what's up, what's out, and that's it to whoever. But not backing off, but it's like it's a learning process. We need to know it. Our youth need to know it. We all must get involved, because that takes away the doubt. That when you hear stuff, you won't be believing everything you hear. And you won't have to even get upset, because you know which way it's coming from. It's up to you to really figure it out, listen to it, and see how you can get in there and keep those pathways of opportunity open for all. I like that. I've underlined that. I'm trying to listen and write. But, you know, with you, Hans Johnson, I'm going to just put some brief stuff up there, because I would never be able to put on words what you just came said out of your life. I wouldn't be able to do it, because it's so heartfelt. It's so real. It's so honest, and it's so pure. And I am so glad that I am a part of the EAPD, and that you saw that diamond, and for those that connected it is up in there, because this, I'm learning. And my question to you is, we don't talk about too much politics here, but what do we need to do to get you on that, get you at the White House, huh?
Well, all this talk about stew has me hungry, and
okay.
I'm hungry for change, but I'm also hungry for dinner. I appreciate the opportunity to talk more with you and to talk to listeners here and engage people, not just in getting registered to vote, but to be involved and to stay involved. And I guess if I have any parting words tonight, it is to encourage people who have not yet to fill out their census form. Koreatown, where you call home, Linda, here in the part of our greater East area, is the hardest to fully count neighborhood in all of Los Angeles. And
really?
It is the neighborhood that is most prone to undercounting in our census. And I just want to say, everyone who can, tell each one, reach one. Each one, teach one. Make sure that you are in touch with every person in your network about filling out the census form. Because with this administration and its lackluster approach to public service and even public responsibilities as basic as the census, we can't take anything for granted. And so much is riding on an accurate count in our census. So please, especially in Koreatown, make an extra effort to reach and teach people about the importance of the census. It is anonymous. It is safe. There's no interference with it. There is no citizenship question on it. We won that fight to stop that perversion of the decennial count. So please use the multiple tools online to make a simple response and get counted, because so much depends on it, from funding to political power in 2021.
But I guess I'm going to have to go to the market and start spreading some kimchi out here on the sidewalk. and throw a giveaway, you know, because sometimes it's kind of hard to speak.
You're making
language.
Me hungry again, Linda.
But everybody over here likes to eat, okay? I'm glad you shared that with me. I'll get with some people here and see what I can do. Like, my merchants, I always deal with the merchants and go have some conversations when I pop in to buy my oranges for my vitamin C to keep myself healthy here. But, Hans, I'm not going to hold you. I know how you are about what you want. I am so appreciative that you took out time, because see, you was busy before the event. So for you to take out time and come and share and care with us, we love you here at Waking Up with Linda.
I'll come back. You want me?
Please.
I'll come back whenever you say.
Hans, I'm gonna play your song, and you please go and enjoy your dinner. And thank you. I'll email you, because I need some information to summarize, if I may. But I'll do it after dinner, okay?
I'll be happy to. Thank you so much,
Johnston,
Linda.
With EAPD, which is the East Area Progressive Democrats, the best club that one could be a part of. Look into it. Come join us. The membership is out, and be ready to make the change. These are true, true change makers. And that motto, yes, we can, and yes, we do. Have a good evening, Hans.
Bye, Linda. Thanks again.
Bye-bye. Yes, that's right. Let's get out here together. Tomorrow night, we're going to have Angie on. You know, I'm going to put that disclaimer out there, Friday with Angie. We're going to do it short and sweet. But wasn't that great to have Hans Johnson, the president of the EAPD, East Area Progressive Democrats. See, progressive, that word progressive is like no joke, no sway. You don't want any of this, okay? It's not just the regular routine out there. And as he reminded us, to get involved, to fill out the census, to vote, make that change, and put that information out there. Work and be the change makers that we were brought here to do. Change is hard to do, but guess what? Be like the EAPD, a yes, you can, okay? Or shall we say, yes, we can. So it was so nice talking with you this evening. I'm going to say again, happy birthday to my mama. She's sitting up here smiling. She said, my baby girl is doing okay. And she's already back. She's already here. Keep in mind, let's be grateful. Let's be thankful that we're here to see another day. Let's just take care of one another, caring, courageously, and cheerfulness. Everybody's going through something. But at this time, we have an opportunity to sit back and analyze stuff. And stuff that's coming is not coming correctly because you don't need that to bog you down. It's going to be a new beginning. Everything has to begin new. And you must do the best that's best for you. This is why my mama used to tell me, listen to Chaka Khan.
When your heart is free, it's easy to make a decision. When your head is clear, you know you have good judgment. But when your life is turning topsy-turvy and you have no reasons for what's disturbing, remember these words my father said to me.
keep your head up no matter what. Don't let anybody put their foot on your neck. We want you to relax, reflect, rejoice. Stay safe, stay strong, stay happy. But most of all, stay woke. We love you. See you tomorrow. Enjoy.
Make me the path for that I mustn't fear, or I'll know the